This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. It's Wednesday. We are glad you're spending some of your afternoon with us here at 97.1 FM Talk. I want to point you to the YouTube live chat poll. And I guess, Hannah, if you want to come in here, you can come in here and read some of these comments. I think she mentioned that there were quite a few. But the poll is, should my six-year-old's kindergarten graduation make me sad? So I will be real with you here for just a second here. My daughter, my six-year-old daughter, is graduating kindergarten tonight. And a lot of people I saw saying that, like, there's happy tears and there's sad tears, and you know, happy tears are okay. So maybe I've misplaced the emotion that I have for this. And I get this way every year at the end of the school year. It is so difficult for me to watch my kids leave their one grade and know that the next year they're going to be in first grade instead of kindergarten or whatever it might be. And it's almost much more about not the next grade they're going in, but the fact that they're closer to high school or they're closer to junior high or they're not in preschool anymore or whatever it is. And so I am happy for my daughter, and she is over the moon about graduating kindergarten. She's super excited about it. She's super happy about it. And I'm happy for her. But there's just this weird level of sadness that ends up setting in when these types of life changes occur. And it's hard. It's hard to watch kids grow up. And I'm curious about how this might have affected you. And I think I want to talk about it a little bit here in this segment. And then I think what I'm going to do in the next segment is potentially take some calls. If you folks want to offer some thoughts or some experiences that you've had on this issue, because I have a feeling, like I said earlier, I'm using this opportunity and my connection to you as a listener and as a partner in our afternoons together to kind of help me push through this a little bit. So, Hannah, you don't have to give me the results of the poll right now. We'll wait until the end of the show. But the poll being, should my six-year-old's kindergarten graduation make me sad? Why don't you go ahead and tell us some of what people have said so far online?
Okay. Betsy from YouTube says, maybe sad is the wrong word. Emotional for sure.
Yeah.
I agree with that one. Holly shared of an experience of her own. She says, last year I cried taking my kid to his last day of third grade. I said I was sad, happy. He said, oh, you're sappy. Yes.
That's smart little kid. Those last days of school are weird on my mama heart. It's very bizarre to take in the last. I'm going to be honest. I don't do lasts well with anything. So when it comes to my kids, it's even more so.
Michael from Facebook said, of course, kids don't say kids forever, but they'll be adults forever. It's always bittersweet.
Thank you, Michael. You made me feel a little bit better.
Is it always, because like, do you always feel guilt that you're not doing enough? And is this a mom thing, is it a dad thing, or is it both? Because there are a lot of times that I feel like I'm not engaging with my kids enough. Therefore, when a milestone like this comes along, you go, oh man, I feel kind of guilty that I haven't soaked up like all the time with my kids that I should. But there are times that you come home, you're just like, I'm just tired. I don't want to talk. I don't want to play. I just want to sit. So there's like a guilt that comes along with these milestones for me.
That's not what I try to give my kids all my time when I'm not doing work things. I had a work event last night, so I didn't get to be with them then. But I mean, pretty much my time outside of work is with my kids, and we have them in a lot of activities, and I've prioritized that because it does seem so fleeting. But I'm sure that's a sentiment felt by a lot of other people. Go ahead.
Jay from YouTube sympathizes with you. He says, my son Logan graduates kindergarten next week. My last child in kindergarten. I'm very sad.
Thank you, Jay. Is that Macaulay Culkin? It's Macaulay Culkin. It's Home Alone Macaulay Culkin. That's not what he looks like anymore. He's all grown up too.
From YouTube, ask a question. He asks, how many graduations are there now? He only had high school and college.
Did you graduate from kindergarten?
Kindergarten, I did end up graduating.
Kindergarten?
I did graduate from kindergarten. I graduated from eighth grade, high school and college.
Same. Ryan, did you have a kindergarten graduation?
I don't think we ever had a graduation until 12th grade.
Did you, Hannah?
I had fifth grade, eighth grade, high school, and college on Saturday.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm sad that Hannah's getting all grown up too.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what this is really about.
Shed some tears.
Yeah, kindergarten, eighth grade, high school, college.
I never had kindergarten or preschool, which I thought I would have had one of those, but
kindergarten graduation is a ceremony at school and then it's over. So
do they get cap and gowns?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I know. I'm
so sweet. That would make me cry.
I will be sharing photos tonight on the Facebook page of my little girl, so.
Rachel from Facebook says, any milestone has the potential to be bittersweet. I agree with that one.
That's an interesting take, too, because it ends up being more of, it can totally end up being like, this makes you sad in the context of whatever else you're dealing with in your life at that moment in time. So maybe something is feeling a little extra sad because maybe you lost a loved one or you're thinking about something else in the context of this particular moment. So
this one might scare you. It says, Margie from YouTube says, my baby graduates high school tomorrow. Don't blink, Annie.
Yeah, I could literally cry right now. I won't. I'll try not to.
Are these things, has this always been the case? Have parents always felt like this? Or are we more hyper-focused on it as a society now?
That's why I asked the poll question. That's why we're answering the questions.
Well, I didn't know. Yeah, okay.
I would feel like parents would always have felt this way.
Yeah, I feel like that emotion is real because it comes from a spot, you know, you don't know, you can't get back what you don't have anymore, right? So the time ticks on, it goes on and on, and you can't go back to your kid being in kindergarten anymore. But I think where we're different now is we're more open about talking about it, whereas the other, you know, our parents just kind of was like, oh, yeah, push that down and...
I don't know. Like, that's probably definitely true because every generation past Gen X seems to be really concerned about making everyone aware of how they feel all of the time. But I also think that you can't compare the two, the way our parents would have been and the way we are now, because there were no means to share things like
this
that.
This is true.
And now there's means to share everything. And you can, you know, when you're scrolling mindlessly through Facebook and you're seeing all these, you know, you see prom pictures and you see graduation pictures and you're like, holy crap, that kid's a senior in high school and is graduating. And it like, you stop for a second and when in the world did that happen? You know, my son will be a seventh grader next year. So junior high, not middle school, junior high. And that is mind blowing. And I'll post pictures of him every once in a while because in the last probably 8 months or so, he's really like shed that little boy look about himself and he's turning into a young man, and it's jaw-dropping, especially if you haven't seen somebody like that recently. So on Facebook you see all that stuff, and then I think it does probably urge you to be a little more sentimental. So I wonder if it's just, you know, maybe the potential was there for our parents to care when we graduated. No offense, mom and dad. But I feel more so like we just have so many more means to communicate with each other right now and to be connected with one another in ways that are probably even in some ironically diminishing actual human connections that we have with one another.
Did junior high start in seventh grade for you?
Well, middle schools are kind of a new thing, I think. Mm-hmm. From our age, there was junior high and high school, and it was seventh and eighth grade was junior high.
Oh.
Like, there were no middle schools when we were in middle school.
Is Charlie's like that?
Charlie goes to a Lutheran school, and it's K through eight, so.
Oh, okay. Okay. I started middle school sixth, seventh, eighth.
Well, yeah. I went to a Catholic school, so it was K through eight, and I ended up moving in seventh grade, so I didn't have a fifth grade graduation, because we just did.
I've never heard of that, but... I'm not opposed to it.
I think my fifth grade graduation was more hyped up than my high school graduation was.
Your fifth grade one?
Yeah.
Like that's because the moms teachers were in charge of the fifth grade one.
That's exactly what it was. We got food catered. It was awesome.
I am not that mom. I can't. I am so grateful that those moms exist and are in my kids' classrooms. And I am like, who should I Venmo? Because I was filling out invitations for my 6-year-old's birthday party that we're gonna have on Saturday, and I was writing him out. I'm like, Jared, I hate doing this, because I like the first invitation, I wanted to look nice. I don't even know if the last ones I did you can read.
I'll like,
give me a random 6-year-old birthday party a few houses down the street, because I quit writing the address. Clearly
you should have called me. I like doing that stuff.
I should have brought him and you would have done that'd be like I am so opposed to treating people who you work with in this business that way, but that is exactly the type of thing that radio would do to like
a
interns
newbie, yep.
Or the newbie. Yeah, it's not give me coffee here. Fill out my child's birthday invitations. Oh my gosh, I could never do that to you.
Man, well, you want a great cheat for birthdays that I've discovered this year? I wish I would have done this 8 years ago and I would have had 8 years of great cheats. But every time you do a birthday, you always have to provide treats and stuff, right? You got to do all this stuff. You got to get a cake.
You don't have to.
Right.
But society is big on the pressure.
Exactly. Exactly. So I've discovered in the last year, oh my gosh, I don't have to go get a cake. I don't even have to get cupcakes. I can literally that morning go to a place and get 2 dozen donuts for all the kids. It's cheap. Everybody loves them just the same. And it's done. No prep in ahead of time. It is the best thing I've discovered for parties.
I went to
donuts.
Yes.
I went to a public school.
Mind-blowing discovery.
Yeah, I know.
And an elementary school for people's birthdays, everybody would bring in something like that. But I don't think they're allowed to do that anymore. But now that I think about it, I don't know. There was a lot of pressure to do that. And for the kids who like had summer birthdays and then couldn't bring in stuff, I feel
Pinterest.
Bad for them. Or some people, their parents were working. They didn't have time to drop off birthday treats. So now I think about it, I
had,
feel
like,
bad.
Ferris wheels on top of them.
Yeah.
The Pinterest movement, I kind of feel like Pinterest is going the wayside. I don't know. Maybe it's wildly successful and I just am so far removed from it that I don't know for sure. But it's... There's so many things that can be done and there are things that have to be done. And the thing that has to be done is that your kiddo needs to feel celebrated on their birthday and loved. And there are lots of ways to do that. But if you're breaking your back and you're making yourself crazy doing it, or on top of that, spending money you don't have, you're not doing it right. And it's not teaching your kids good lessons. But, you know, I have one of the friends that I have that is a mom of one of the girls in Evelyn's class makes the best treats. They're amazing. And she cupcakes and she makes macarons and she makes like elaborate cakes and everything. And they are so delicious and they are so beautiful. And I am very glad that she does that because those parties are catered well. The school auction has the best desserts ever. And I love looking at them and eating them and not making them.
I'm not above going to that party. If I get an invite from your
Of course.
Kids, friends, mom, I would consider going.
I'll ask Kaylin.
Thank you.
That's great.
Any more comments before we take a break?
Yeah. Our friend Balls commented and said, I'm sure Evelyn is all fired up. This is just as important as high school graduation to her. Big time is where you are at. And then he also said, perfectly normal to be sad. It is a reminder of how fast time goes.
I think that's it. I think that's the thing for me is that time is just... a thief, and I feel like the older I get, the faster it goes. And I know I've been hearing generations before me say that forever. It's just like, don't blink. That whole philosophy of just, you blink and it's over. And everyone always says, how is this possible? And I'm just waiting to blink and be saying, how is this possible? And she's in kindergarten. I still have some time. But my big kids, they're getting a little closer each and every day. Let's take a quick break. A little follow-up on that conversation we had, because we're getting some feedback from people who agree with Brad, agree with Ryan, agree with me. Maybe we'll get Hannah's thoughts on this, too, on the other side of the break. You okay with that?
Yep.
Okay, sounds good. Stick around. More Andy Fry Show in a minute.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. We're glad you're here. Quick reminder to go vote in the Annie Fry YouTube live chat poll. Should my six-year-old's kindergarten graduation make me sad? Keep your comments coming, because I'm going to go back and read them all this evening while I'm crying over ice cream in my bed after graduation. Probably not. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. What kind of ice cream is it? Made me less likely to cry.
I was going to ask.
Cookie dough?
Oh, that's the best.
Vanilla. Mm.
Did you notice that ice cream that you brought in for all of us a few weeks ago, that it apparently it's not selling well because Walmart's all over the place are marking it down?
No.
You can get it cheap now.
I was told by one Brad Range that it wasn't accessible in most Walmarts.
Oh, really?
But the Walmart I went to was a bougie Walmart.
Ooh, no, I've seen it in mine, but it's also now marked down, so I don't think it'll be there for long.
It might be marked. Is that the Collinsville one?
It's both Collinsville ones. Yeah, there's two.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's not selling well because it's really expensive.
Yeah, that's
I wouldn't
possible.
Be surprised this if it's at the other Walmarts that are in higher affluent areas aren't marking them down.
No, you're probably right.
We got a comment from Joe on the Facebook page to send a message to the Facebook page. And it was a discussion we were having at the end of the 1 o'clock hour in the Mountain Time, Wiggins America, because we had Thomas Helbig in here at 1245. And we were discussing, is it Cheryl Loomis? Is that her name? Senator Loomis?
Cynthia.
Cynthia Loomis, who had a speech, a graduation speech at the university in Wyoming. Ooh. And in her speech, she made the comment that they're scientifically two sexes. There was a big hubbub about that. There was booing at the event. There was a big hubbub about it. The university came out and made a statement about it, saying that it was hurtful to people who were there. And she came back and she said, I'm sorry, it was never my intention to hurt anybody's feelings on this, but I stand by my comments. Did I explain that correctly?
Yeah.
Do we all agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Joe's comment. Why should anyone stating a fact about a biological truth ever have to say or feel the need to say, I'm sorry for hurting your feelings? If someone's feelings get hurt by pointing out an absolute truth that is not a direct personal derogatory attack on them, then I don't know what that means. All she did was do damage to the illusion that these people have created. Had she said unicorns are not real, would she have felt the need to say, I'm sorry if that hurts your feelings? The saying, I'm sorry, may in fact hurt your feelings is why we are at the point we are with not being able to state a fact without someone saying boo-hoo my feelings. And then he added another message that says, no offense, LOL.
So I would like to take this moment to say that is not my stance.
Well, stand by. My stance is, because I have a feeling that Joe is targeting this towards me because I was the only one in the room who thought that what she did was actually great. He says, why should anyone stating a fact about a biological truth ever have to say or feel the need to say I'm sorry for hurting your feelings? If I haven't made it explicitly clear, I'm going to use this opportunity to do it again because I think this is important. She didn't have to apologize for hurting people's feelings. She's not required to apologize for hurting people's feelings. Once again, to reiterate, she did not back down on her comments whatsoever. She actually stood by her comments that she made and didn't qualify them or pull back on them at all. But when the university came out and made a statement saying that the comments were hurtful to people in attendance, be it the graduates or the families, she said it was never her intention to hurt anyone's feelings. I think that is a gracious thing for her to do. And everybody keeps saying, why should someone have to do this? She doesn't have to do that. That's why forgiveness and grace is amazing. And offering yourself in an instant where you are having a conversation with somebody and you say something that you stand by to be true, knowing that that might hurt somebody's feelings, if you're saying it with the intent to hurt someone's feelings, then you're absolutely in the wrong. Mm-hmm. We agree on that. If you're saying something with zero intent to hurt someone's feelings and a complete unawareness that it's going to hurt someone's feelings, I would question your self-awareness maybe and say you should probably be thinking about your words and how they're going to affect other people. But if you say something controversial that you believe to be true, that is going to be an unpopular opinion, and you know that it is going to upset some people, then you have to choose whether or not to say said thing or to not say said thing. And knowing that she was going into a university situation, and she's a senator, I assume that she knows that the statement was controversial. I am pretty sure that's why she said it. She put it out there. She got blowback for it. She apologized for anybody's hurt feelings and said, I stand by my statements. To me, that's the most gracious way of pushing back that one can do. And if that's her methodology on doing that, I commend her for that. I think it's courageous. So, but I think that Joe was agreeing with you guys. So, Brad, you can take it from there.
Yeah. So, like, my point is like, she came to that universe. Like, if it's obvious that the person isn't trying to hurt somebody's feelings, when you like, if you go into a situation, you say something you were not intending to hurt somebody's feelings, you are not guilty of hurting somebody's feelings on purpose, right?
You don't have to be guilty for something to apologize.
Right, but if you apologize, you are admitting a fault or a guilt of your own.
No.
So then what are you apologizing for?
People are unintentionally hurt in ways all the time that is in a real relationship where people care about one another. This is not one of those situations. But in a real relationship where somebody cares about something, I mean, I'm just speaking from my own personal experience. Maybe my marriage is the only one where this actually happens. But we, based on the context of our day, all the time, with four kids and a million places to be and two full-time jobs, take things the wrong way all the time. Mm-hmm. And it requires grace on both sides. If I hurt Jared's feelings because I said something and I didn't intend to do that, for me to be like, well, I never intended to hurt your feelings, and if your feelings are hurt, I'm not apologizing because that's not what I intended to do, is not a loving thing for me to do to my husband.
I agree.
Well, my thing is this, is explaining that you didn't mean to hurt their feelings is not an apology.
I think it's an apology.
No, an apology, to me, an apology requires an admission of guilt.
Not to me.
Because if there's nothing wrong, there's nothing to apologize for. So
you're talking, an admission of guilt is different than an admission of intent.
No.
You can be guilty of hurting somebody's feelings without intending to hurt someone's feelings.
You can hurt somebody's feelings, but you're not guilty of hurting that person's feelings. If you're not intending to hurt that person's feelings. And I know you're confused because your face says that right now. What I'm saying is at some point offense is taken, not given. So you, like, both parties have a responsibility in this misunderstanding, because that's what it is the misunderstanding. Now, I don't think this is a misunderstanding in Cynthia Loomis's case, but in your example.
Or in the universities.
Right. But in your example of a husband and a wife, there's a misunderstanding. The husband said something, the wife misunderstood what the husband was trying to say. So there's not a guilty party in that. So that doesn't require an apology. It may require explanation, clarification, and all these other things. But when you apologize, what you are saying, a good apology says, I was wrong. Correct? Would you agree with that?
Not necessarily.
So what, like, if you weren't wrong for something, what are you apologizing for?
Again, I think that your emphasis here is on who is wrong and who is right. And what I'm saying is that the behavior that I am commending is her willingness to put herself aside, to stand by her point, to say what she said and to stand by what she said, and to not be so obsessed with having to be 100% right about everything and 100% not wrong about anything, that she is willing to anybody who is actually hurt by her words. And, like, I understand that in the context of politics, this takes an entirely different tone. I think it's a fantastic example for a grown person who believes that they are in the right in what they said to understand that that might have been hurtful to somebody else, and to say, I'm saying what I'm saying because I believe it to be true, not because I'm here to hurt your feelings.
And when you receive,
and I'm sorry if that did hurt your feelings.
When you receive an apology, what is it about the apology that makes it a salve on whatever it was that was offensive or hurtful to you?
Care and concern.
Care and concern.
For somebody other than yourself.
So what I'm saying is that she could clarify those statements. This is not my intent to harm somebody. That's fine.
But she didn't clarify her statements. She did not clarify her statements.
So she came
out. She made her statements and she stood by her statements.
Well, No. I'm talking about, I did not mean to hurt anyone.
Mm-hmm.
It was not my intent to hurt.
She didn't clarify her statement, but she did clarify her intent.
Right. So she clarified that my statements were not intended to harm. They were just a statement of fact and this, something that I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't actually seen her response. But what I'm saying is that if you, when you say I am sorry, you're saying I was wrong to do that.
I don't agree with that. So we have a fundamental disagreement, which is fine.
Right.
I'm sorry if it hurts your feelings.
No, you're not.
No, I really am.
Though? What's your intent, both of you?
Well, this is my point. I don't think, like, and this is coming from my Christian background, and this is
same.
The idea of repentance. And the repentance is an admission of guilt and a turning away from it.
And you can forgive somebody who doesn't repent.
Yes, you can offer for forgiveness. But that person to apologize, to repent, has to admit guilt.
Offering forgiveness is different than being forgiven.
Right, but you're on the opposite side.
Yes.
Okay. What I'm talking about is when that person admits their fault or apologizes, repents, they're admitting their fault in that situation.
Well, your fault can be a sin of omission where you are doing something in a way that, I mean, we can sin without knowing we're sinning if we're talking biblically speaking here. A sin of commission, one that you do willfully or knowingly, is different than a sin of omission where you don't really understand the harm that your actions have. And those sins of omission, if you do something, I mean, we do stuff all the time because we're humans and we're sinful and we're broken, we have the ability to do things that might hurt other people unknowingly, and you have no intention to do that whatsoever. Your intention isn't what makes that sinful. I mean, if we're going to go in biblically, we're all sinful, we're all broken, mm-hmm. We need Jesus, bottom line, period. So to me, the mindset of being a gracious human and in a selfless way saying, I'm trying to think of, like, and I don't want to get into all the controversial issues, but there are a lot of things that I could say that mm-hmm. I would believe to be true on this show that would be hurtful to people. And I'm not saying them to hurt people. But at the same time, there are people in my industry, on my side of the aisle, who have the exact same profession I do, who would make the exact same statements with an intention to hurt people.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Which is why when she goes and does what she does and says what she says, and she says, I said what I said, but I didn't mean to hurt you, I think that's a very positive thing.
But in the gracious the gracious part about that is then saying, you know what, I will take responsibility for this. I will take the blame for this. I will take responsibility for your feelings being hurt.
Yeah, that's good.
But that's an admission of something. That's the admission of guilt that I'm talking about.
It's not an admission. I mean, it's an admission of guilt in the sense that
we are.
Whether
or not you own it.
Well, it's an admission of guilt, if that's what you want to label it, in the sense that she is saying, yes, I know that what I did hurt your feelings, and mm-hmm. I'm sorry for that. That's not a retraction on her statement.
No, not at all.
Which is why it's a good, healthy thing to do.
In general, I would agree with you, but in this situation, I wouldn't. And on a person-to-person level, I would agree with you, but in this situation, I wouldn't, because I think that what this ends up doing is setting up a more...
What's hurt by it, then?
Well, I would say it encourages that sort of behavior from more students down the line. The idea that somebody owes you an apology because you didn't like what they said.
But she didn't apologize for what she said.
Yeah, but she still apologized, and they may not make that distinction.
But that's on them.
That's my whole point. From the beginning, their offense, taking offense to what she said, is on them.
But when you offer forgiveness, it's much more, that's not necessary.
But she's not offering.
When you offer forgiveness, or if you offer an apology, there is a personal, on each side of that, the offering an apology benefits the person who's offering that. The offering of forgiveness benefits the person who's offering the forgiveness on both sides of that issue. So for her to say, I'm sorry, whether they forgive her for that, like we're all talking about biblical Christianity forgiveness here, she's forgiven for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's been done. And whether or not they're going to actually forgive her for that and be like, oh, thank you for clarifying those statements. And thank you for saying to us that you didn't mean to hear. Like, I completely understand where you're coming from now. Like, that's foolish to think that that's going to happen. But that whether they're going to accept that or not shouldn't change her behavior in choosing to do that. And again, she does not have to do it. It was something she elected to do that I think if let me ask you this, if everybody behaved the way Cynthia?
Yes.
I like how you have to reference the page.
Well, we've called her other things.
Where Cindy, Loomis, if everybody behaved the way she handled this situation, would we be in a better world?
If everybody behaved the way she did in this situation, if they had that same attitude, we wouldn't have this situation.
Well, that's my case closed.
Well, but I could also make the point that if everybody took responsibility for their own feelings and assumed the best in somebody's statements, then we wouldn't be having this conversation either.
My point is that if you're going to choose to behave a certain way because of what everybody else is going to do, like, she can only be responsible for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she said what she said and she stood by it. And if that offends people, if she's truly not out to offend people, if she's truly not out to upset people, then she can stand by her statements and say, if this offends you, I'm sorry, that's not my intention, but this is what I believe. That's the most that she can control. Put it out there and let it be.
Yeah. And to your point, those that were offended can control how they feel about it. They can look at that and they can choose to be mad. They can choose to boo. They can choose to
hiss.
But
they have a right to be upset by it. I mean, if you're somebody who considers yourself to be non-binary and somebody comes out there and says there's two sexes, there's going to be a disagreement there. So, I mean, our worldview, I'll speak for myself, my worldview being that there are two sexes is going to be incompatible with people who believe that there are an infinite amount of sexes, mm-hmm. which means that, yes, you can choose on each side to be upset. But if somebody were to come and, you know, good grief, like when people talk about what it means to be a woman, you're going to come tell me that being a woman's so easy that a man can do it. I don't know if that's what the slogan is these days, but, you know, I'm just saying if people want to come in and say that, you know, this is what it means to be a woman and you can put some long hair on and some lipstick and call yourself a woman and that's all it takes. That's pretty offensive to me. I am offended. And they can say, well, this doesn't need to offend you because it doesn't have anything to do with you. But that doesn't stop me from being offended, and I have a right to be. They have a right to their feelings, even though I don't necessarily agree with their worldview or their understanding. They can be hurt by that. And the person who has a different worldview can say, I'm not trying to hurt you in this. This is just how I see things.
Yeah, they have the right to be hurt by that, but they don't have the right to assume that hurt was intentional. And if you assume that hurt was
intentional. They do have the right. They can assume whatever they want. They can say whatever they want. They have that right in the First Amendment
well,
to have that. And which is why her
Let me change it to responsibility. You have a responsibility to know how you feel, but at the same time, you can't impute motive on other people. You can't.
You can, though. You're saying you shouldn't.
You shouldn't.
But you absolutely can. And it is everywhere all the time.
And it's wrong.
Well, they should apologize for it.
And admit that they were wrong.
My opinion is unchanged, but people agree with all of us. So, Hannah, do you have a thought?
I would have done the same thing that Cynthia did.
Cynthia?
I.
What if it was Todd?
Cynthia Todd Loomis.
I would have.
Mary Todd Lincoln.
Said what I said, and then after I realized I hurt people's feelings, I would say, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. It wasn't my intent, but I still believe that there are two genders, not 50. Sorry if you felt personally attacked. That wasn't my intention.
Moving on.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If you want to have a bigger discussion about this,
Brad's in charge
let
of
me
the
know.
Music, so we're going to keep talking about it. Until he plays it.
Brad's like, no.
No.
We are not leaving this until I say we are.
Play the music, Brad.
There it is. Okay, Brad says we're done.
We're done.
The poll, when we come back, should I be sad about my kindergartner's graduation tonight? You can go vote, and Hannah will give us the results in a minute. Don't go away.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter, at Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. So tonight is the big kindergarten graduation in the Fry household. And yes, I will admit I'm sad about it. And I a lot of people commenting on this, making me wonder if maybe I'm just misclassifying my statement on my emotion, but it feels kind of like sadness. So what's the poll say?
110 people voted on whether you should be sad or not about your kindergartner's graduation tonight. 54% of the people said that you should not be sad, and 46% of the people voted that you should be sad.
That's close.
It is pretty close.
I was hoping for a resounding, no, you shouldn't be sad, and then I go, okay, I'm sorry.
Should have added more emotions. Just a range of emotions that
no.
you could have
been. No,
like
it's four options.
I know what I feel, and it feels like sadness. I don't know. You said you have sadness, but it's because you have great guilt.
Well, it's, yeah. I think there was a benefit to when my kids were first born. I was running my own company and with a business partner.
When your kids were first born, they were also twins. That's a detail that people should understand.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when my kids were first born, there were two of them.
They're still twins.
Yeah, they're still twins. But we had been married for 7 years, and so going from zero to two is a big, big transition, and in the midst of trying to do a business and stuff. And I think I've carried over that moment of feeling like I didn't know what to do because there was so much going on that I've never really gotten over it. And so when I hit milestones, I always look back and go, am I doing a good enough job? And sometimes I say, yeah, I think I am.
Heck, but a lot of times, I'm doing a great job.
Yeah, most of the time I look in the mirror and I go, buddy, you're killing it. Do it again today, every morning. Step on that scale. You can do this. But at these times, I'm just talking about like just stupid stuff I do in the morning every day.
Do you really do that?
Put on a shirt.
Have you ever done
that? Step on the scale and go, you got this, buddy. You got this. No, I don't do that. I actually do that every morning. But just having those moments to look back and go, am I doing a good enough job? And I think for the most part, I say, yes, I think I'm doing a good enough job. But it's a very like exposed moment of saying, I don't know. I don't know if I'm doing a good enough job because there is no.
By the time you find out, it's too late to do anything.
Yeah, there's
about
no like playbook. You just do what you got to do.
You made me think of a ask me anything question that I wanted to ask, but I'm not going to be here tomorrow and Friday because my kindergartner has tomorrow and Friday off by herself, and she's six, so she can't stay home by herself. But I had this funny ask me anything question. I want to ask the room real quick. When you're getting undressed to like put your PJs on or you're at home and you're whatever, do you take your top or your bottoms off, like your shirt or your pants off first?
Bottoms.
Oh, pants, for sure.
Shirt.
Really?
I think that this is a divider of people.
Man, me and Hannah agree a lot. It's
but I
weird.
Think it. I feel like it would be so weird to take my pants off first.
Oh, I mean, the pants are first, I even thought about going to bed yet. The pants
are off.
We
don't need to talk about it too much.
Okay. I want to read this really sweet comment
from
STL.
I got to get the mail. Pants are going off.
On YouTube. STL says, parents always feel emotional as their kids grow up. That's a good thing. Just wait until your first one is taller than you are.
We're close. Mm. We're real close. He's up to my eyebrows probably. Mm. And I know that it's just like one massive, you know, 14-year-old boy growth spurt away from going, what the heck just happened here? And once it's gone, it's gone. I was thinking about his little voice. You know, like one day the little boy voice is just gone.
Do kids' voices change their whole life, or is it just one puberty moment?
It's like at 3 o'clock on Tuesday. No, I think it's a gradual thing. But the little voice.
I've noticed that about my kids.
Charlie's
yeah.
little voice is gone. He hasn't had a voice change yet, but I just know it's going to be gone. And it's like that person who I knew and raised is like not there anymore. It's crazy, folks. These kids just keep growing. I keep telling them to stay small. And then they laugh at me and say, no. And then it is what it is. All right. I'm getting lots of messages from you people. So send them to the Annie Fry Show Facebook if you want. Lots of pastors messaging me and commenting on our discussion. If you didn't get to hear the whole thing, it was in started at 1:45 and went throughout the rest of the show. Thank you guys for being here. Appreciate it. Kindergarten graduation tonight. I'll share a pic. Mark Rudin Show up next.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.